So I got down from the tree stand, start heading for the truck, and that's when I seen it there. The 30-point buck.
30-point buck.
30-point buck.
Wisconsin's gun deer hunt starts tomorrow. What makes this such an enduring tradition in the state, and what could make it better? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November 20th. We are going to talk about the past, the present, and the future of the deer hunting tradition in Wisconsin during this hour, and we welcome your input. Do you go deer hunting? What do you enjoy about it? What makes the deer hunting season such a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin? Do you fear for its future? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We welcome your questions, your concerns, your memories, and your stories about deer hunting in Wisconsin. Our guest is Patrick Durkin, a freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us again.
You bet.
And let me say that I played that song because Bill Martin's, one of my producers, insists that I play that song every time. Every time we do a deer hunting show. I'm not making fun of deer hunters. I love deer hunters. My brother-in-law is a deer hunter. You are a deer hunter.
Yeah, and we can take a joke.
Good. The deer hunt starts tomorrow, or at least the gun deer season starts tomorrow. Are you going to be out there?
Well, of course. I was just thinking that tomorrow at this time I'll be up in a tree or on a tripod stand somewhere down my uncle's farm by Casanova.
Okay. And we'll talk a little bit about this. It's a little bit different these days than maybe it was in the past. A news story, Patrick, I don't know if you saw this. It says that according to the Department of Natural Resources, 609,779 hunters bought licenses for last year's hunt. That was the fewest hunters since 1976. And then as of Tuesday, hunters had only purchased 392 plus a few licenses, which is, that seems way down.
There's a number of factors going on there. You know, you can't get too excited about the sales these days at this point in the, early in the week. What's happened in recent years with the automated license sales is that people more and more, because it's so convenient now to buy deer licenses, they'll wait till the last minute to buy them. I think it's like about 12% of licensed buyers these days for the gun deer season. They'll be buying it today. And so, you know, chances are this final week we've had here, you'll see a real spike in the sales. And, yeah, it'll get close to, it'll probably get close somewhere to where we were last year. But, you know, if you look at the historical trends of deer hunting numbers in the state, this downturn we're seeing, it has been predicted. You know, people have been talking about it happening. I remember writing about back in the late 80s that the projections were that as our society becomes more urbanized and the baby boom population, people like me start aging and dropping out of the hunting population, that you would see this downturn. So it's not that unexpected. It might be surprising some people, but it's been something that we've been talking about in the hunting community and the natural resource agencies. So it's been out there a while.
Yeah, because I remember back in the day, it seemed like close to 700,000 people were out in the woods.
Yeah, our record was, I think, 1990 with I think it was just short of 700,000 deer hunters in 1990.
You know, but 600 and some thousand is nothing to sneeze at either.
Still, that's the thing. It's still a huge number of people hunting. You know, if you get into the real nuts and bolts of hunting participation, it's interesting to see how, you know, we have more deer hunters now than we had back in the 50s. But the big thing is that as a percentage of the population, that the hunting numbers are definitely dropping down to where, you know, the deer is concerned. But it's still, Wisconsin is still one of the biggest deer hunting states in the country. I'd say ours and Michigan's and Pennsylvania's are probably the ones that, when you have opening day in our states, Wisconsin, it's a big thing. You can't miss it. Whereas other states, you can very easily overlook that deer hunting is going on.
Yeah. Now, the numbers are going down, you say, mainly because of urbanization and demographics. The kids today aren't necessarily getting into hunting like they did in the past. But you were trying. You had your daughter out there a few years ago.
Oh,
I remember.
Yeah, my oldest daughter, she started hunting with me for deer when she was about six. She started sitting with me in the deer stand, and she'd go along with me scouting. I even got her in the bow hunting at a young age, where she'd sit in a tree, you know, during the bow season. And deer hunting isn't a real fast-paced activity usually if you're just sitting in a tree stand, but it's not for everyone. But for my oldest daughter, she still hunts. She'll come home. She's a Navy nurse, and she'll come home once in a while and deer hunt during the gun season. My other two daughters, I tried the same things with them, tried to get them interested, and it just didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like a lot of things in life. You know, I think we try so hard sometimes. I think we try probably too hard sometimes to get our kids to be hunters, and, you know, if it doesn't interest them, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a caller who wants to talk about kids and hunting, Ted
right.
in Duran. Hi, Ted.
Good morning, Joy. Good
morning.
Yeah, we have 10 kids coming to hunt with us from 19. The youngest will be 8, and he'll just be tagging along with his dad. But the kids will be sleeping in a camp, an old-fashioned deer camp, along the Chippewa River, and some of them will be sleeping in tents, and they'll be spread out all over the place. So, yeah, but we're really looking to make it fun for the kids. We put a lot of them in blinds. That way the kids can have their electronic devices with them if they want, as long as they're covered up. And then we have one of our kids actually has cerebral palsy, and he hunts using a track chair, an action track chair, which is a great device that lets him get out there with his dad, and they hunt out of a blind. But we just want to make it fun for them so that they carry on that tradition.
Wonder, and is this a tradition for you to get the kids out there too, Ted?
Yeah, I started hunting when I was 12, and my brothers and sisters, we bring the brother-in-laws along with us. We've been hunting for the last, you know, since forever, since we were kids, and now we want to bring them up. Not all of them hunt, but they're all invited to deer camp.
Yeah.
It's a great tradition.
Well, Ted, tell us why it's an important, great tradition for your family.
Well, not only being together, but it's also a time when we can have fun. The moms aren't around, so it's a little it gets a little PG-13 every once in a while, and the kids just love sort of that time with their dads. It's a great time of the year. We look forward to every year in Wisconsin. We're lucky because it's always the weekend before Thanksgiving. So the kids have time off from school, and it's a great time to bond with your kids.
Well, good luck. Thanks for sharing that. So, Patrick, that's that sounds promising.
Yeah, it's always. I think that's one thing that's for me the most fun of deer hunting. I mean, people often ask, "Well, why do you deer hunt?" And I think, well, that's like asking, you know, why you fell in love with a certain person, you know, your wife. And I think about that a lot, and I think, well, you get right down to it, and what's the things you carry away from? It's usually memories of conversations you've had, people you've met, hunts you've been on together, where you even a thing like dragging a deer out of the woods and some of the things that happen while you're doing that. It's just, you know, great stories you tell about for years. And I know when I go up to my friend Tom Herberline's shack in Ashland County, we seldom shoot a deer up there, but it's fun to talk about it. You know, he keeps a journal and makes you write in the journal, and then you go back and read past passages. I brought my daughter up there, and it's just I think it's just a fun time to get together and very sentimental times, too, sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more after news, but not shooting a deer up in Ashland brings up the issue of people complaining that the deer population has declined, especially in parts of northern Wisconsin, and that's one reason why people aren't going out as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get down to why people stop hunting. You know, if they don't see a deer, that's definitely going to be a detriment. But then, too, I can go back in my deer hunting past, which started in 1971, and point out to a time that, you know, we were killing fewer bucks back then, or about the same number of bucks back then, as we kill with a bow and arrow these days. And so, you know, the guys who really enjoy deer hunting, sometimes that a lack of deer challenges them even more. I know that's kind of the fun I get. I like hunting in the northern forest and low density populations. It's a real challenge. It's something that it doesn't appeal to everyone, but yeah, I think for a casual hunter though, you will see people drop out if they aren't seeing deer. It just, you know, they lose interest and they find something else to do.
We are talking with Patrick Durkin, a freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers, talking about the gun deer season, which opens tomorrow in Wisconsin, and wondering if you are going hunting this weekend and why, if you are. Or what questions do you have about the hunting season? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Dirty point buck.
Couldn't get to my grenades.
Yeah, right.
I always will remember, 'twas a year ago November, I went out to hunt some deer on a morning bright and clear. I went and shot the maximum the game laws would allow, 2 game wardens, 7 hunters, and a cow.
We are talking about deer hunting in Wisconsin this hour, and we are welcoming your memories, your concerns, your questions, your stories about deer hunting in Wisconsin. The gun deer season opens tomorrow and runs through Thanksgiving weekend. It is still a big deal for Wisconsin. Will you be out there? Why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're talking with Patrick Durkin, a freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. And our next caller is Dwayne in Hayward. Hi, Dwayne.
Good morning. I've been hunting. This is my 47th year I've been hunting deer. We gather a traditional hunting shack, heavy on the shack. It's fairly primitive. There'll be about 10 of us this year. We hunt because humans are natural predators. Hunting tradition goes back in my family as far as I can trace it, which is my grandfather, he was born in, I think, about 1886. And one of his biggest prizes in his life was a bighorn sheep he shot out in Idaho when he lived there for a few years. So hunting is a huge tradition.
Yeah. So how important, Dwayne, is it for your group for some sort of success, and what does that mean?
Well, we eat a lot of venison. When my children were at home, we would eat 7 or 8 deer a year and hardly buy any other meat.
Wow.
For me, now that I'm older, getting a deer is not as important as when I was under. I still like to eat venison. I shot a smaller buck here during bow season, so I have venison in the freezer. But, you know, another 2 or 3 wouldn't hurt the cause at all.
All right. Thank you. Good luck to you. So, a lot of hunters are doing it for the venison too, Patrick?
Yeah, the one thing that we always know about hunting and people's acceptance of hunting is when they know that hunters are using the meat and value the meat, hunting is always perceived much more highly by people when they know that. And I think hunters, I mean, when this guy talks about feeding his family, you know, 7 or 8 deer a year, I think, well, yeah, that's what I was doing too back in the 90s. I had a young family back then, and I remember one year I shot 6 deer, and we went through 6 deer without any real big problems, because it's something, to me, I enjoy that aspect of the hunt. I enjoy getting the deer home, cutting it up, freezing it, and then we eat it for the next, you know, few months. And it's, I think it helps you connect to the land, and that's why I know I keep going every year.
Yeah. And now, are you going to, go to your shack tonight, Patrick, and get ready to get out there first thing in the morning?
Yeah, I move around quite a bit. I start my opening week, and I'll be down in Richland County hunting with on a family farm. My aunt and uncle invited me down to hunt there back in the early 80s. And they're gone now, but their kids still own the property, so we'll meet there today. Later today, I'll be down there. And then on Sunday, I'm meeting my brother in Minneapolis to go to the Packer game. Then I'm going from there up to Ashland County and hunting up there for a couple of days. And so I like to think I get the best of both worlds of deer hunting Wisconsin by hunting the farm country than hunting the forest.
Well, you might have. I think in Richland County, I'm not positive. I have to look at the weather map. But
yeah.
You might have that snow to track in, huh?
Well, I hope so. There's something about snow and deer hunting that I like it when I can look out across a field or through the woods and see snow. It's I'm not much of a tracker, but it does for the deer stand out much better when there's that snowy background.
Yeah. And by the way, the 50th annual venison feed is taking place in Tomahawk today. It starts at 11:30 and will go until supplies are gone. There'll be venison burgers with chips and soda. That's been going on for 50 years in Tomahawk. Have you ever been there, Patrick?
I always have that. When you mentioned that, I always have this regret. I've never stopped in. I remember my very first deer hunt was 1971. My dad pawned me off on two of his firefighter friends from Madison, and it was Charlie Merkel and Don Hermanson, I think his name was. We drove right through that thing, drove right on Highway 51 in those days through Tomahawk, and saw it going on, and we didn't stop, and that's the closest I've ever been to actually attending it. And every year I think I should really attend that somehow, but every year I'm heading south for opening weekend, not north.
Yeah. Let's go to Ron in Weyerhaeuser. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, hi, Joy. Hi, Pat.
Good morning.
You said a reason why I like to hunt, and then kind of a challenge. So I got 2 points. The why, the cool thing is for 9 days, your busy life and all your worries kind of fade away, and you're immersed in a world where it's just chasing deer. Life's simplified greatly, and with a bunch of other guys kind of doing the same thing, or gals, whatever your hunting camp looks like. But that's really cool. The concern I have, you were talking about populations, especially in northern Wisconsin here, of deer. Thing is, a lot of times it's easy to blame, the wolves, they get the brunt of it, but a lot of other predators get blamed also that they're eating up all the deer. But I really think hunters themselves really need to take a look inward and, evaluate what's going on in terms of, the placement of food, either through bait stations or feeding. Even if they're not hunting, there's a lot of people out there just feeding the deer. And then what's happened over the last probably 15 years with the proliferation of food plots, you got everybody with 10 acres or more, well, not everybody, but a lot of people with hunting land, 10 acres or more, they're plowing up parts of that land and planting it to corn, soybeans, other attractants. And we're creating an area up here where you have areas of lots of deer, and in other areas where you're not going to find the deer, where the habitat's not as good, and that's never going to change. And it's sort of artificially being done mostly by hunters in northern Wisconsin. We're creating the haves and the have-nots up here. You walk the woods with your eyes open and equally your mind open, you see those areas where they're being fed and where they're not. And where they're fed, there's lots of deer. And where they're not, not so many.
Interesting. Well, we have Gary on Facebook who says, look at the numbers posted by the DNR for the preliminary report of the 9-day gun season in Iron County for the last few years. And the chart he supplied shows 700 deer taken in 2012, 430 in 2013, and then last year, 180. He says, don't bother buying a license and coming here if you expect to shoot a deer. And yes, the decline is due entirely to the wolf population. And Ron, you say no, it's not just the wolves.
Well, that's the easy out. We as Americans, we love easy answers. We love to be able to point to one thing and say, there's the problem. You walk the woods. I walk a lot of woods. You walk the woods. I hunt areas where it's big woods. I can tell when I'm getting close to a bait station. I can tell when I'm getting close to a piece of private land, especially big private land pieces, where they're going to have a sizable food plots out there. You notice a big uptick in deer sign.
Mm-hmm. Patrick?
Yeah, anyone who reads my column over the years knows I don't favor baiting at all, deer baiting at all. Food plots, I think you can have a little discussion there, because I think with a food plot, when the deer eat out what's growing there, that thing's done. They aren't going to come back to it again. It's not going to sustain them that long. The biggest problem in the northern woods as far as the deer population will always be habitat. And when there's not regular logging going on, opening the forest canopy, getting the new growth generating that deer eat, Deer are a creature of the edge. That means basically the edge of a forest where there's new growth coming up. They can't do well in big numbers in a mature forest. And once that canopy closes and the sunlight isn't hitting the forest floor, deer don't live in that kind of country. And you can't make them grow live in that kind of country. And so you'll always need good habitat to sustain a strong population. If you don't have strong habitat, you won't have good deer numbers. And you can blame the wolves. And we've had times in the past before we had wolves where if they didn't have a good deer hunting, we'd blame the Chippewa for shooting too many deer. There's always someone to blame. But the biggest problem is our own management of our forest. If we aren't cutting forests regularly, regenerating growth, you won't get that many deer.
Yeah. In September, you wrote that you thought the future of deer hunting looked pretty bleak and that it was likely the deer herd would be a sickly one by the time today's youth were your age. How big a problem is chronic wasting disease becoming?
I think it's a terrible problem. It's getting worse all the time. And no matter what we state agency right now is pretty much not talking about chronic wasting disease, but you look at the incident rate, how fast it's moving. It's not this fast rolling across the countryside type wildfire, but it is a slowly spreading, growing worse all the time. It's going up the Wisconsin River corridor now, and we're not doing a whole lot of real aggressive management. We aren't doing any aggressive management in Wisconsin anymore toward chronic wasting disease. And so, and to me, I don't think it's an exaggeration what I wrote back in September to think that by the time today's youth, you know, 15-year-olds of today are my age, where I'll be 60 here in another month, I think, you know, I don't think it's going to be the great deer hunting we've experienced in recent years because, you know, you have a population in a big chunk of the state that won't be getting past 2.5, 3.5-year-old, you know, individual animals. They'll be dead by the time they're 4 years old. And if we don't shoot them, it's basically going to be a young age structure for the herd, unlike anything we've ever seen before. And even the young ones will probably be, at least half of them will be carrying the disease. So it's, you know, once you start having sick deer where people aren't sure it's safe to eat them, I don't think you're going to have the kind of hunting and the kind of hunter numbers we're seeing today.
Well, what kind of management would or could help reduce this problem?
Well, the only thing that seems to be having any kind of impact on the disease and controlling the disease somewhat is what Illinois has been doing in their northern counties since they found CWD just a few months after we found it. But unlike us, they've really been shooting the herd and keeping it at a low number down there. And that has kept their CWD prevalence rate at about 1% in that population. And granted, that isn't the kind of population, the kind of woods that we have in their woods isn't quite as dense as ours and as large as ours in the southern forest, but it's still it's more comparable than some people want to say. And I think, you know, they've taken, like I say, a real hands-on, aggressive approach for Wisconsin. We were actually keeping our, in the early days, we seemed to be making progress on keeping the herd at a low level of CWD prevalence. But as soon as we backed off about 10 years ago, I started climbing, and now we're up in these areas where I looked this year. Now we've so far, the number of deer we tested this year, we have a 15% prevalence rate in the southern forest, so southern farmlands.
It's still mainly southern Wisconsin where we're finding it, though, right?
Yeah, it's still mainly down in basically the area west of Madison. And then but it has been showing up now along the Wisconsin River corridor in Adams County, Juneau County, up into Portage County. And so, I mean, when you see those kind of little outliers, and there's a certain pattern in those outliers, you got to believe that disease has gotten up into that area, and it's not just a few deer here and there.
We have Lou in Oconomowoc with us. Hi, Lou.
Hi. I was just listening to your guest here, and I just have a comment here about the chronic wasting disease issue. I do believe it's a big issue, but at the same time now, like I say, you see the governor trying to incentives for new deer hunters, cheap licenses, and this or that. But isn't it true that that this last session, that when the DNR went through and did a lot of the cutting on the staffing, a major part of those people that were let go were saying, I mean, it was a lion's share like we've never seen before, the actual scientist within the DNR being let go. I'll just leave that comment with you, and thanks for the program.
All right, so were the budget cuts that affected the DNR and the layoffs, is that going to affect the deer management program?
That's hard to say how it will affect it, or if it will affect it. I'd say it's pretty certain it'll affect it somehow. But the biggest challenge will always be, you know, what we make our priorities. And if we make our priority, imagine the herd, we'll probably get along. But I guess the thing I always get into is that, you look at how we're imagining the herd in the last 5 years. It's basically been a kind of a hands-off approach. Well, the population's climbing again down in southern Wisconsin, the area where we do not need it to be climbing. And it's we're having a real struggle with deer in the northern forest because, like I said, we have a long-term problem there where we don't have the young forest generation that you need to sustain them. So I've been real worried about how our priorities have shifted and kind of gone into this passive approach to deer management, and then I think it's going to pay in the long run hurt us. And what I'm trying to do, though, as I'm talking to you right now, is I'm getting myself bummed out thinking about it.
Oh.
But at the same time, I know when I start hunting tomorrow morning, I'll be in that game. I'll be enjoying it. I'll be looking forward to hearing how other people are doing. I'll be texting people to see how they're doing up in Aspen County, how they're doing, two valleys over. And so I think I kind of take the approach that while I'm hunting, I enjoy the experience. I'm not going to let someone bum me out. I won't bum myself out. I really enjoy deer hunting.
Yeah, and I don't mean to bum you out. so let's maybe there'll still be some bummer calls, but we'll see. Jerry in Lake Mills. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm an older woman and have a long history of watching how this whole thing evolves. And it's my impression that when you allow men to manage any living thing like this, it becomes extinct. All we have to do is look at the pheasant population, which is now practically non-existent. Mm-hmm. When I moved to my property, there were just flocks of them all over, running all over, and now you rarely even see one around here.
Well, it's men's fault, as Jerry says.
Well, I'm happy to address that. Mm-hmm. We should point out right away that pheasants aren't a native bird to Wisconsin. They're an exotic from China. And, when the pheasant habitat is good, we'll have plenty of pheasants. But, the way we farm, the way we do our agriculture in Wisconsin, it isn't conducive to pheasant populations. That really has very little to do with how we actually manage them through hunting. We really don't manage something like pheasants through hunting. We try really hard, and I think we have a pretty good record, over the course of time, managing species like deer, like elk, bears, you name it. We do a really good job of keeping those numbers in check when we have the hunters working with the wildlife agencies to do it. Where you get into all these other problems, though, like there isn't a certain habitat issues, it's very hard to control what everyone else is doing on private property. And now you're in our public lands. We don't fund the programs that could manage a lot of our public lands the way we want. So these aren't easy problems, but the title, the hunting and hunting management, I think, it's not a very easy, it's a very complex situation.
Yeah, and I got to jump in because we do have news coming up. I did see a pheasant, by the way, by Goose Pond in Columbia County just the other weekend. First time I've seen one in a long time, too. But we'll talk more about Wisconsin's deer hunting tradition after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
The second week of deer camp. It's the second week of deer camp, and all the guys are here. We drink, play cards, and shoot the bull, but never shoot no deer.
We're talking about Wisconsin's gun deer season, which starts tomorrow and runs through Thanksgiving weekend. What makes this such an enduring tradition in Wisconsin, and what could make it better? We are talking with Patrick Durkin, a freelance outdoor columnist for Wisconsin newspapers, about Wisconsin's deer hunting tradition. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your experiences, your stories, your memories. maybe your thoughts about the future. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Patrick, second week of deer camp. There's not a second week in Wisconsin, is there?
No, that's a song that goes to the Youpers from Michigan. Michigan has a 16-day deer season, so they do have a second week.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And they're shooting the bull, but they're not shooting any deer. But that's part of just camaraderie and having fun
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's great.
I wanted to ask you, well, actually, let me go to David in Ettrick. Hi, David.
Hi. Well, I'd like to say that it's always good that you wait for the right shot so you don't hurt the deer and have it go away wounded and die. And I saw a 16-pointer take a stick in its mouth and rub it on its teeth. It was really close to me when I was bow hunting, but I couldn't shoot it because I already had one.
Oh, yeah, and you got to be, you want to make sure that you don't just wound the deer and maybe lose it, Patrick?
Yeah, you know, I really pride myself on taking a shot that you know will be fatal, taking one shot. And, you know, you'll get into a lot of discussions in hunting ethics and how different people approach all this. And there's some thought that, well, if you don't shoot, you definitely won't get them. And the thing I've often told people is that I've learned over the years, because I've had my bad experiences too in the woods, is that I've never regretted a shot I didn't take. I have regretted some shots I took and probably shouldn't have taken. And I think all hunters at some point will have when those bad incidents happen. But I think if you're ethical and do your best and you try to, you know, basically be empathetic toward the animal, you do make a really good effort to bring it down with one shot, bring it down quickly, and make good use of it. I just think that's how you show your ultimate respect to the animal.
Yeah. You know, there was a story in Madison's weekly newspaper, Isthmus, about a trend in hunting that involves a local foods angle,
mm-hmm.
That people interested in local foods are advocating hunting as a part of the hunt to table culture, and it looked like there's some, you know, I don't know, some young men who weren't necessarily hunting since they were 12 years old, who are deciding to do this. What do you make mm-hmm. of this?
I love that idea. I have relatives. They're not my relatives. My wife's relatives from New York. They're you know, like in the 20 age, 30 age group, and they relate to that. They have no hunting background, but the idea that you can go out in the woods, learn how to hunt, and get a deer and bring it back, or get a duck, whatever it might be. And then what's kind of cool about the thing, too, is once they start hunting, they start to realize that hunting is not as easy as they thought it would be, or as what they assumed it would be, and that they have to learn regulations. They have to learn that this is a very highly developed system of wildlife management we have. And to make it work, you really have to understand the laws, understand how they apply, and then do your part as a good ethical hunter to do it right. And to me, I just really like the idea that people connect through the meat like that. You know, whether it's something they value, they know it's organic, they know it's free range, all those kind of catchphrases we hear all the time about our industrial food chain. Well, hunting is the ultimate locavore idea, where it provides those turkey, geese, deer, whatever it might be. It's meat that you can bring home. You sourced it yourself, and you, in many cases, you know, cut it up yourself and preserved it.
So do you have, I don't know, just some general advice for someone who maybe didn't grow up with the hunting tradition, but now is thinking as someone who wants to be a locavore that, you know, if you're going out deer hunting for the very first time, what do you do?
Yeah, well, you know, last year in January, there was the University of Wisconsin held one of these online courses. And then part of the course you could do that was show up and go on a pheasant hunt and at least get indoctrinated into hunting a little bit and still to get a feel for it and learn how to use firearms. Because it really is a long, stepped process to get into hunting. and to just walk out and do it, it's not that easy.
That's right. You're supposed to take a hunter safety course,
right.
Aren't you?
Yeah. And that's the thing, it is a hunter safety course. It doesn't teach you how to hunt, though. It teaches you how to be safe as a hunter. Mm-hmm. But the whole learning process of hunting, it's a lifelong endeavor, and it's not something that you can just pick up and expect to be good at right away. And to me, I look at when I go hunting in a new area, I expect to have to hunt the area at least 5 years to get a decent feel for the best way to hunt it. So it's really a fun, challenging thing to learn and do. But to actually get into it, that's the biggest step usually, because it's just to get that network of people around you and know who to contact. It's often hard to establish to break into a hunting group and be brought along. Typically, it's done through the family. It's not something that hunting is real easy to get into unless you have a friend or a family member that can indoctrinate you.
Paul in Sealy is with us. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Just a couple things I wanted to say. I have over 50 years of hunting, and I'm primarily a bow hunter, but one gun season, I sat out and I felt that I couldn't take it. So I go out now just to still be involved with it. And I enjoy just being out there. Also, it's good food, good healthy protein, I tell people. But the main thing I'm calling about is in the north, we were hit with some harsh winters, and the herd has gone down for a variety of reasons. But one of the positive things is there's a new program with the DNR and U.S. Forest Service where they're helping each other mark the timber on the national forests, which will increase the logging and more available browse for the deer. So I think in the long term, this is going to help bring the deer population back up north.
Thank you, Paul. And we have less than really 30 seconds, Patrick. That's you want more timber management, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that you always have to hear about those kind of programs, because that's to me, griping about dole permits and complaining about wolves, all those kind of things, yeah, they factor into this, but there are some things we can't control, like the winter. But the thing we can control is how we manage our land. And so I hope that politicians who always want to capitalize on the deer hunting vote and get those deer hunters voting for them, I hope they'll be more constructive and start looking at rural habitat management as the long-term solution.
Thank you, and good luck this season.
Thank you, Joy.
Patrick Durkin, freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. And as we've been talking about, many Wisconsinites are looking forward to gun deer season. They've been looking forward to it all year long. For Ron Weber, the experience means much more than the kill.
The sound of ice cracking in the cedar swamp signal it is deer moving, and they are coming fast. Through a screen of hemlocks, I see a flash of one deer. No, two. A doe stops to survey the woods in front of her. It takes 15 seconds for the second deer to materialize. In that time, my mind paints the picture of a 10-pointer stepping out of the cedars. Instead, a fawn ambles into view and follows its mother into the cedar swamp to the north. I realize then that I am shaking. After pondering for a couple of hours why I was shaking, I conclude that it was the picture, painted in my mind, of the 10-pointer. That brief moment on opening morning of the Wisconsin gun season has made my season worthwhile. That excitement is what hunting is all about. Thanksgiving morning. Fresh snow blankets the Shawamigan National Forest. I find a pair of deer tracks on the edge of the hardwoods. For 3 hours, these two lead me on a merry chase from one bog to another before heading out into the hardwood ridges to the north. I call a truce, turning south, heading for some ridges which keep watch above a wilderness lake. I encounter a pair of wolf tracks. Maybe they too are enjoying this beautiful day for hunting. After following them for a while, I wish them luck and set a course for the lake. I notice a large track moving up into the ridges. My heartbeat picks up as I scan the woods for that 10-pointer that I have chased in my mind for years. I follow the track to the last ridge above the lake. The sun has dipped below the trees, so I end the chase. On Sunday morning, I walk back to my truck with the melancholic realization that a year must pass before the next deer season. I come upon a fresh buck scrape under a balsam limb. That sight will keep me company until next November. My tag went unfilled. I always paraphrase all of Leopold. What was big was not the rack, but the chance. What was full was not my tag, but my memory. Hunting does not come with guarantees other than a communion with sunrises and sunsets and the chance of a 10-pointer stepping out of the cedars. That may happen in the next 5 minutes, just as all seems hopeless. Maybe that never happens, but there is always the chance. The interlude from one November to the next makes deer season so special. When the bright October woods give way to the steely November landscape, the excitement reaches a fever pitch. I feel a primal pull towards a small cabin on the crooked shores of Lake Namekagon in Bayfield County. Our deer camp will gather to write the next chapter, not really knowing how it will begin or end. That's as it should be. No matter what comes or doesn't come down the trail, for 9 precious days each November, I am the luckiest guy alive. As hunters, aren't we all?
Ron Weber is a forester in Weyerhaeuser. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org, and you can also find us on Facebook. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Elizabeth Delaquest for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I had a creep up at State Fair. Hey, I've been over there.